You're listening to the Nerd Dump, brought to you by Uber Nostrum. Uber Nostrum, the only product scientifically proven to put hair on your chest, regardless of age or gender.
Yeah, I don't. What is that the point of the medicine?
No, I'm actually not entirely sure what the actual purpose is. That just happens to be one of the side effects.
Right.
But Uber Nostrum is all about marketing.
Yes.
So they're going to get you however they can.
Yep. They're going to have that commercial, and they're going to have, what's his face? Matthew McConaughey come in?
I don't think they can get Matthew McConaughey.
You don't think they can get Matthew McConaughey?
No.
Well, I guess they have us doing this, so they can't get
right.
much.
Our life is bad.
Yeah. Speaking of bad, hey, welcome to the Nerd Dump, the best podcast that is being recorded at this moment in our studio.
Yep.
There will be a better one recorded later by some other people.
Yep,
that,
by the Uber Nostrils.
Yes, the Uber Nostrils. Not connected to Uber Nostrum.
No.
But they've got a pretty good good thing going.
Yep, they're the ones who gave us the medication.
Was I supposed to use that?
No.
No, okay. You're not supposed to.
Specifically you. They said okay. It doesn't work on Stephen Honey. It's on the pill box, which is weird.
Yeah. Like, that's really specific.
Yeah, because it's not a pill. So nope. That's real weird.
Is it because I've time traveled too much?
I don't know.
Is that why it doesn't work for me?
I don't know.
It could be.
I'm not a scientist.
Nope.
I'm a magician.
I was a scientist once. In that one, like, story that you wrote.
Yeah, that's going to be... I still plan on doing something with that. We wrote this... We kind of team gathered the inspiration for the story, in which it's a group of superheroes who are the worst possible superheroes. Basically, they're like the L string superheroes, because you know you got your A string, your B string, these are like L. And all the other strings died, so these guys had to step up and be the superheroes.
Oh, nice. I like it.
Yeah.
My character actually would be really cool if he actually knew that he was a god.
Yeah, we've added that in over time.
Yeah, like basically... The reason my powers work is because I just will them to work because I'm a god. And
he thinks he's a scientist.
I just think I'm a scientist. Okay. I'm not.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Turns out he's a demigod with a concussion or something like that.
Even better.
So he's like, this is how science works. Like, they go to his lab one time. I may have told this story already. They go to his lab one time and they look at his generator and it's a cat with a piece of buttered toast taped to the back of it. So it's just perpetually spinning. His cats always land on their feet, and Toast always lands butter side down.
Yeah.
And that's how he powers his lap.
That's where Toaster Cat came from?
Yes.
We've been joking about that for like 6 years. I didn't know the origin of Toaster Cat, honestly.
A D&D night several hundred decades ago.
Nice. Well, speaking of crazy ideas,
yes.
We got together and decided that...
To make a podcast. Who the fuck?
Worst idea we ever made. But we are actually going to introduce a new segment on the podcast, which is our book club. We should actually probably start by introducing ourselves for anyone who has not listened to this.
They've already heard my name.
Every podcast.
If they were paying attention.
Right.
They weren't.
Nope.
Every podcast is somebody's first podcast. So this might as well be yours.
Yep.
I'm Cameron.
Yep. He's the guy there.
Yep.
I'm Cody, and I'm the Cheese Wizard Supreme.
True.
That's in my comic book.
Yep.
And I'm Honey. I'm eating popcorn.
He's part bear.
Again, in my comic book.
And in real life.
Yep.
But yeah, we are we're testing a new topic, or new...
Thing,
where we discuss books, basically.
Yep.
Or, as we like to call them in Nerddump land, graphic novels, because we don't read actual books.
Yeah.
We need pictures.
Yep.
Or else we forget what we're doing, and then we see a butterfly, and then that somehow flaps its wings and starts a hurricane in China. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's the ripple effect, according to that one video we watched.
Inside Edition.
Something.
So, so for our... inaugural episode.
They let me pick first. They made a mistake.
I was gonna say not necessarily, but I'm not gonna say that just yet. But we are We're going to be discussing the series The Autumnlands, Volume 1, Tooth and Claw.
So pause the podcast and go read it if you haven't.
Yes, if you have not read it, we are going to be talking a lot about it. We are going to get into spoilers. So right. if you don't care about spoilers, you just want to listen to us, hey, great.
You're a weirdo.
Yeah, but we don't want to insult our audience.
And if you've listened to us at all.
Hey there, you guys.
If you have any knowledge of us from our prior podcasts, and you realize I chose the first book, it's safe to say it is full of violence and blood and gore. Which, Autumnlands, Tooth and Claw is definitely full of violence, blood and gore.
Yeah, I mean, that subtitle, Tooth and Claw, that's... that.
Right.
I shouldn't say that gives it away, but that definitely sets
it's kind of
tone.
An understatement.
A little bit. But we're going to be talking about that, and to start with, the book again is called The Autumnlands.
Yeah, thank you.
It is written by Kurt Busiek, who is known primarily for superhero stories. He has written a lot of Avengers. He's written Superman.
He's definitely not an amphibian.
Definitely not. It has art by Benjamin Dewey, colors by Jordi Belair.
He's an amphibian.
Yep. And was designed and lettered by John Rochelle of Comicraft, and the book itself is published by Image Comics.
Which is also amphibians.
Yeah, they're all lizards and frogs.
Brought to you by whatever drug Cameron made up earlier.
Uber Nostrum.
Uber Nostrum.
The Nostrum? Hair chest, please.
Nostril.
Nostrum. Nostrum.
It's
get the fake stuff straight. Man.
Side effects will not include growing extra nostrils.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
It can cause anal leakage, which is really counterproductive because one of the reasons for its existence is to stop anal leakage as caused by other medications.
I am pretty sure that weird glowing guy who gave us this medication has ulterior motives.
I'm almost guaranteed it.
Yeah. But he gave us money, so we're going to talk about it in a positive light.
He did not give me money. Where did... what?
What? I mean, not money. He did not give me any money that I'm hiding from the others.
I was going to say, you gave me some.
Yeah.
Should you just not give Cameron? Should I not be talking
we
about
We all
this?
Know Cameron's not good with money.
Nope. I put it towards the website for the podcast. That
yeah,
was a terrible idea.
Yeah, we probably do that.
So, yeah. But anyway...
go ahead and buy our merch on our website. You just follow the links, and it'll take you straight to our merch page.
Yep.
That doesn't exist.
It does not exist. But we do exist on the Twitter. And if you guys have an idea for what we could call this ongoing segment, shoot us a tweet. We would love to give you a mention and possibly even use the name that you come up with.
I kind of like calling it Book Club. But getting a picture of a book tied to the end of a club.
Oh, yeah.
Covered in blood.
See, I like that, but now I've already said, hey, give us your ideas.
Oh, you can give us a better one.
Yeah.
Draw that, even, if you want.
Oh, yeah, totally. We will take art, and we will post it on our website and even the Facebook page, because we are also on the Facebook.
Do we have an Instagram?
Not yet.
I want to say we talked about making an Instagram.
We talked about it. But we were afraid of what we would actually take pictures of. But that could happen.
Cat buttholes.
It'll.
That's better than I was thinking. Anywho.
So. we're terrible. Anyway, on to
Autumnlands from cat buttholes. Honestly, not that far of a stretch.
Nope, there are indeed cats.
Yep. There's a cat that gets a hole. Yeah. Like it gets an
straight
arrow
through the
neck.
I felt really bad for that cat, but that's getting further into spoilers. So again, if you have not read it and you are wanting to know about it, but without getting into spoiler territory, you might want to check out an earlier episode because we are going to get into spoilers.
Yeah.
For Volume 1, we won't be talking about anything afterwards. So if you have read Volume 1 but nothing after, you're good.
And we haven't read Volume 2 as a group yet. We'll put it over here.
Not as a group.
We got a whole bowl full of these nostril axes.
Am I not supposed to be eating it by the handful?
I don't know. Why is it moving?
Because I didn't kill it yet?
I forgot what it was called again.
That's weird.
Uber nostril.
Uber nostrum. It's German-esque.
I said Nostrilax.
Yep.
Yes, you did.
So.
This is an axe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Autumn Lands.
who would like to kind of give us a little synopsis or the premise?
I think it should be Honey.
Okay, since I did choose this as the thing that I wanted the others to read, because the whole premise of what we're doing is we're choosing a book that only one of us has read that we really enjoy and we wanted the other ones to forcibly read.
Yep.
So using this as an excuse. So I chose one of my favorite graphic novels, Autumn Lands, Tooth and Claw, and coincidentally, neither Cody or Cameron had read it, so that worked out. But the whole general premise is the land is full of anthropomorphic animals. That's the right word, right?
Yeah.
Anthropomorphic. Yeah, animals, okay, cool. Yeah. I was like, I said the word, and I was like, I could just be making stuff up right now.
No, You nailed it.
Anywho, so they it's kind of magical stuff going on. They have crystals and stuff that they use to power their magic, and it's focused on a group that's flying around on like a skyship, and it talks a lot about how the magic is slowly dying out, and any of the creatures that live on the land down below the sky cities, they're basically kind of like second-rate citizens that don't get all the benefits of the sky cities, and a lot of the sky city people look down upon them. They realize that the magic is dying out, and it's harder to recharge their abilities through the crystals and everything, so they're trying to work out some different stuff, and one of the sorceresses, Goethe?
Took me a while to figure out she was a girl.
Yeah, well, it's a warthog lady that looks kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Lady Garta, the wizard is.
She's like, oh, we need to summon this champion to help us out.
Right.
And the main people of the city, the council, are like, no, you can't do this. And she,
the eagle face.
Well, yeah, the eagle guy and was Sandhorst. Is that that's the owl?
The owl guy. He didn't so much step up at the beginning.
Yeah, he kind of took place of the eagle guy afterwards. And then Dusty's dad.
Ooh, I don't know if he has a name.
I'm trying to remember. But anywho, the warthog lady ends up getting a group together and summoning the champion anyway, or trying to. And they pretty much sap all the magic out of the Sky City and cause it to crash.
They clustered the situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And caused it to crash and kill off
most.
Yeah, I'd say probably about 70% of the populace on the Sky City.
Yeah.
Like, brutally, like, maimed a lot of people as they crashed. Like, it's a very violent comic.
Yeah, it's very disturbing, and you don't think it's going to be that way until that happens.
Yep.
And some of the panels, you get close-ups of several characters. Nobody, like, major characters who have all been impaled or just, you see their mangled corpses. And
there's half a body.
And they're all, again, they're all animals. So
some weird pig boob for some reason.
I didn't quite understand that.
Was weird.
That was awkward.
Yeah, there's a gratuitous pig tit. It's
honestly, the gore wasn't as bad as the pig tit.
Yeah.
Oh, pig tit.
So if you don't really like violence against animals, you might have issue with that. But
I mean,
it's a minor part.
I don't like violence against animals.
I see you kicking kittens every day.
I don't kick kittens.
No kittens were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Except those five.
Those didn't count.
Okay.
Everyone gets five test kittens.
I feel like we should put that on like Twitter or something.
Oh, that should be a t-shirt. Everybody gets 5 test kittens.
Just like no explanation.
No explanation. You know,
people are like, what?
That's like, people see it and be like, oh, that's cute. I get 5 kittens. Yeah, it's not about murdering those 5. Yeah, what you're supposed to do.
And then you immediately hand them a business card. Yep. Be like, hey, if you want to know more,
podcast.
Listen to this thing.
Don't listen to this, whatever you do. I'm going with a reverse psychology method of advertisement.
What the hell happened?
That
cup just jumped off the thing. Yep. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The reverse psychology method of advertisement is tell people not to listen to it. And then they'll do that. Because that's how the world works now.
It can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told my mother-in-law that she should not watch Deadpool because there was going to be nothing about it that she liked. Uh-huh. And it ended up making her really mad. And she yelled a lot because she hated what was in it.
Yep.
I told you that. It's like, come on, man. Right?
So,
but yeah. So, Ottomans, they actually did manage to summon the champion, who turns out to be a futuristic soldier.
From the past, though.
Yeah, from the past. Basically, before they got animalized.
Or whatever.
Not really sure how that happens, because they don't really...
Not in book one, at least.
Yeah, they don't explain that.
Volume one or whatever.
And I don't really remember too much from volume two.
Okay.
I haven't read through it again. Sure. It's been a while since I've read any, but I had to thumb through this one again. But I knew I enjoyed it because of all the violence.
Yeah, the champion is human.
Yeah, he's human.
And you see his full dongle.
Yeah, if you like full frontal male nudity.
Dongles.
There's a few panes of him covered in blood. And
murdering buffaloes, as one does, with dongle.
Buffalo people that, by the way, were land dwellers that hated the sky people and were slaughtering them for years of abuse, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, that comes later, but they have an uneasy alliance with the sky people.
Well, yeah, but they're getting screwed over. That's why I'm saying it's the years of abuse.
Yeah, no, they're
Dusty's
they're...
dad goes electricity at that one Seven Scars guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seven Scars is his name.
Yeah. The Bisons are—they're basically recruited to get them supplies and kind of help with them, and in exchange they get
shards of crystals
for their own magic. But it's,
they're getting less and less,
right? And they're even giving more supplies than they should be, but they're still only getting what they
agree. They're actually getting less,
right?
Yeah,
because it's like, well, it's harder to get this stuff, and you guys have all these supplies readily, so. Give us more for less.
Yeah. So it's
electricity.
So that shows you that some of the higher ups in the sky group, they're dicks.
Most of them are dicks.
Yep.
Because we got the boar chick and her giraffe lover, who aren't dicks, and that's about it.
They're not actually lovers.
It sounded like they were lovers.
I think they are lovers.
It alludes to it.
Oh, they totally are. They're in love with each other.
They kiss at one point.
Do they? Yeah. I don't remember that. Maybe I blocked out the draft kissing the warthog because that was just awkward. Yeah.
It was actually really... It kind of comes out of nowhere because you don't really... There's not much of the draft.
I keep forgetting they have genders, honestly. So.
A little bit. It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Most of the female characters have, like, things dangling from their ears. They have, like, weird earrings.
Right.
That's how you can kind of tell the difference, I've noticed.
I didn't really have a hard time telling the difference between the genders.
Weird.
But some of them do have boobs.
Some of them have boobs.
A lot of them are really fully garbed, unlike the champion.
And the people who live in the sky are generally
eventually
kind of chunky.
Yeah.
Because they lived a high life all this time with their magic. And
that's true. It's true.
So, but the boar chick...
Mm-hmm.
Whose name I've never been able
Gerta.
To pronounce.
Gerta.
Could
Gerta.
Yep. So I just go, gee, lady. And then I move on. She had spent some time on the ground, basically studying ground people, it sounded like, from what I was reading. So she had a little more survival skills than a lot of the other sky people, like the Al Douche. He was a douche.
Sandhorst, or Sandhorst. Or
yep.
I think it's it. Yeah, Sandhorst. Sandhorst, something like that.
But yeah, so...
That was my whole story.
Okay. I know we mentioned Dusty a few times. He's a dog person. And,
a terrier.
Yeah, he's a terrier. And his dad was one of the hierarchy people that died in the crash.
Impaled on debris.
Yeah. Yep. But Dusty ends up kind of following around the champion.
Leroyd.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And when Leroyd ends up going off to go scout around on the walking chair.
Yeah, they have a walking chair. I think it's made of bugs.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, he didn't want to ride the crickets.
Right.
Because he didn't know how to ride them and didn't have time to learn how to, mm-hmm. but he rode a chair.
As one does.
Magical? I don't know.
Yep.
One of the only things left in the city that has enough magic to actually function.
Right. Yeah. And so, before you get too far into it, the champion ends up... He goes off, but then ends up coming back because he's like, summoned there, basically, to save them. And even though he doesn't even know if he's, like, alive or dead or dreaming,
right.
he's like, well, even if this is stupid, at least it's right. something, and I can be of use to you, basically. So yeah. he elects to help them out. So he's trying to basically save them from the boar people, because now that they're on the
not
ground...
Not the boar people.
The bison people, sorry. Now that they're on the ground, the bisons are... basically wanting to go after them.
Yeah, they want to just wholesale slaughter them all.
Yep.
Now, interesting question. When Naked Dekai wakes up out of the glowing green orb, mm-hmm. he comes out and just starts whipping some butt on the bisons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? How do you choose sides?
Like, no one probably because the bisons were attacking and nobody else was doing anything. Mm-hmm. He just assumed probably these creatures were weaker and needed saving.
The other guys were shooting fireworks at the bison a little bit.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, at that point, the bison had shown up, and they were already killing several of the wizards who were there.
Yeah, because before he really popped out of the sphere, that's when they shot all their magic out. Yeah, because when he came out, they weren't shooting anymore.
Okay, so they had already run out of magic.
Yeah, they'd already run out of magic, and that's when he appeared.
And he whoops some bison booty, because they're way bigger than him and way slower. They're strong,
but
he can maneuver around them enough to fight.
He's super agile.
And fully naked.
Yeah, it's funny to bring up, but in almost every panel, it is full frontal nudity. Even, like, when you... there's, like, one time where... his junk is in silhouette.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, you know, he should be proud of his
He's got manhood. Huge balls.
he's packing.
Yep.
So, I mean, like I said, he should be very proud, but it's just funny that you see it in almost every single panel.
Yep. Until he puts pants on. But it takes like right four there. Pages. So, yeah.
It's in silhouette. It just makes me laugh.
It takes like four pages before he puts pants on, finally.
It's more than that. It's
after he passes out.
That's true.
Finally put pants on him.
Yeah, it's the next issue.
Okay, so yeah, it's like 10 pages until they put pants on him. But yeah, he comes out, slaughters some endangered species, as one does.
Of course.
I don't know if they're endangered at that point. Later on, when he blows up a mountain and kills a bunch of them, now they're endangered.
Well, when he went to the village and saw the like the skinny ones, I don't think they were doing very well.
No.
Oh, probably not. Yeah. I don't think they were doing well because I think all the animals in general need the magic to survive.
Yep.
Because I'm wondering if at some point it's going to come out like that they're all magical beings of some sort, that they need magic just to live. So...
could be.
They don't have all the necessary supplies to keep functioning normally. Yeah. And it's probably like they could fight sickness if they had magic.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Because they even say some of the stuff that they're trading with Dusty's dad in the beginning is magic to be used for medicine and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So. One thing we haven't really talked about yet is Leroyd. Leroyd, yeah.
Yeah.
Appears to have cybernetic enhancements.
Yeah. Well, he's... like, the time that he was in was super futuristic. The war that took place where he was at, which
supposedly he's the one who brought about magic at that point.
Yeah.
According to the beginning of the comic. But he doesn't seem to know how he did it.
Yeah.
Or hasn't explained it yet, at least.
I think, in all honesty...
I know that he was...
There's...
to stop a super weapon.
Yeah, but I think the magic that he created was actually the fact that they ported him as like a time travel loop thing. Like, he created the magic because they summoned him with magic.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a time paradox thing. Like, it was created because it was created.
Now, something else we need to point out is magic doesn't appear to work on him very well, if at all. Because the owl guy constantly tries to shoot him with lightning bolts and crap, and he just goes, meh.
Yep.
But, yeah, because, I mean, he also has, like you were saying, the cybernetic enhancements, because he's got the weird goggle things after he touches, like, the bridge of his nose, yep. And he touches his arms, and it lights up, and he's going through specks of stuff.
Yep.
That's why I wonder if he has, like, some kind of implants, and what we're seeing is just...
Like a heads-up display?
Kind of, yeah. Something like that.
So my working theory is the bioweapon. It's a bioweapon that he went to stop. And the bioweapon's triggered, and it's what makes all the animals
humanoid. Probably.
And also somehow causes magic. Maybe it has something to do with nanoprobes, and there's no such thing as magic, and the nanoprobes just aren't functioning the way they used to.
Yeah,
it could very well be that what they think is magic is actually futuristic technology.
Yeah.
It's possible.
So which is my... I hate that method of magic, honestly. But... It's just a theory.
Yeah. And it's definitely a sound theory, because they say that when Garda's like telling them about how, you know, in order for us to replenish our magic, we're going to summon the Great Champion. The reason they're doing that is because, according to their history, the hero facing the world's destruction and certain death opened the gates of magic and brought its power to us.
Yep.
So, which that. That theory, I think, it'll totally work.
Right.
If somehow that weapon, like, somehow created, like, not necessarily created a new world, but detonated in their world.
Right.
Maybe they were just normal animals from before, and it caused them to evolve.
Perfect.
Or mutated them. Because we don't know much about... We don't know if this is maybe an alternate Earth,
right.
If this is some weird Planet of the Apes kind of thing where animals evolved and we all died.
Yep.
There's no real explanation of that, which I think is actually, I really appreciate that they didn't try to say.
Especially not early on like that. Mm-hmm. I'm betting they'll get to it eventually.
But yeah.
Let us have some fanciful wonder at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do a lot of really cool world building in this without telling you.
What is going on in your house, Cody?
Ghosts. The heater.
Okay, yeah, there are legit ghosts because that is the second
thing to keep leaping off of stuff.
Yeah.
Suicide paper.
Your stuff is killing itself.
Yep. We eat this popcorn.
Are we that bad at storytelling that things are killing themselves in this room?
Yeah, we are.
Could be. So
I was trying to remember the coyote lady's name.
Goodfoot.
Goodfoot.
Goodfoot. Yeah, she's definitely a character we hadn't brought up
yet. She's awesome. Fun because she's playing both sides. She's like, oh, hey, you know, I'll help out you sky people because, yeah, you guys got monies and things, and
right.
I'm on your side. And then she goes over and she's like, hey, bison people, I'm on your side. And, oh, hey, I work with both groups. And, hey, yeah, no, I can work out a parlay so you guys can talk and not kill each other. And, oh, hey, look, you killed each other.
Honestly, I think that... when she and the
Seven Scar or
no the other the
human. Sandor's
the champion
yeah mm-hmm. When they got together and started talking, I think he told her exactly what he wanted to do.
Oh, probably.
And he just offered her the most reward for helping.
Probably.
So that's in my. That's,
I don't. He understands scoundrel-esque people.
We don't know if that's what. Oh, yeah, he's a scoundrel for sure.
No, I said he understands.
Yeah. He is a scoundrel.
Well, yeah, true.
And we don't know if that's what happened because the book kind of ends at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
But I theorize that she knew what was going to happen, and she helped him.
Interesting.
Yeah,
because she's been in this for herself the whole time. Like she wants to. She wants to basically get as much as she can out of the sky people, and she's trying to get like their magic, and she's because she knows how much it's actually worth.
Yep.
So she's definitely in it for herself and trying to get that stuff. I think the champion was actually trying. He knew what she was up to.
Oh, he did.
Because Dusty found out and told him.
Yep.
So I think he was playing her somehow. Whether that's he told her what's happening.
I think that. I agree with you. I think he found out. Well, we know he found out, obviously. Yeah, I think that he did know that she was playing both sides through that. Because I don't know for sure if Dusty knew that she was playing both sides or what she was doing, but I think he knew. And he called her out and then was like, okay, you're going to help me.
And he's like, I'm still going to pay you.
Yeah, you're going to get the best
you're gonna help me.
Option from me. But you're going to help me and don't tell anyone else.
Yeah.
That could be.
That's just a theory.
And then
we have no idea.
Where he did want the parlay and sent her to go talk to the bison people, he knew that
they were the one who suggested hiding the army down there.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Which if he sent her to go do that and told her to have them hide the army down there.
Yeah. Which, and he might have even just thought they were going to do it regardless.
Could have.
Because, I mean, yes, even though the bison people seemed barbaric to a degree, I think they were would still probably be honorable enough to, okay, they want to do a one-on-one fight. We'll honor that. Mm-hmm. But I think they still might have been like, we're going to, as a contingency plan, have our people down here in case it goes badly for us, then we're just going to take them out.
She actually fed that idea.
Well, I know that, but I think they might have done it anyway.
Well, she even fed the idea of a one-on-one fight being what he wanted to the bison.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bison are not smart.
Nope.
They are
barbaric.
Yeah. They are very simple, but, I mean, they are definitely written with, I think, some honor to them.
Yeah.
Which definitely actually does come into play near the climax of this particular story.
Yeah.
Which I guess spoilers for what happens.
Yeah. There's already been lots of spoilers.
Yeah, it all goes down pretty badly
for the bison.
For the bison, especially.
For the bison, but also for everyone as a whole. When you really analyze what's happening.
Yeah, because the owl guy looks like a hero.
Yeah,
he's a dickbag.
Yeah, yep. That's the one part of Goodfoot's plan that comes to fruition is she's. She's basically toying with the owl
Sandhorst
the whole time, like saying that you're gonna be their leader. You're gonna, I'm gonna make you look really good, but then I'm gonna basically steal all your stuff.
And I mean, like I said, I have read Volume 2, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to remember what happens in Volume 2 because it's been a long time since I read it.
Right,
but I can't remember if they actually go into this or not, or if I'm just thinking this because I think that's probably what would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost think that the champion was trying to set up the owl, make it seem like he was the savior, and then turn it on him later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember if that happens or not.
Yeah, well, he definitely used the champion used the owl too.
Because
he knew that the people would follow the owl, because the people are fairly stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's questioning him
too.
Anyway.
Yeah, and he because led.
Even that one big blacksmith bulldog looking
that was
guy,
a good part. That was
he
a
was
good
just
part.
Like, I'm the blacksmith, and I'm blah, blah, blah. He's like, they say you took on all these bison, but I didn't see it.
Right.
He's like, you think you could take me? And the whole time the champion doesn't even look at him and is just kind of like talking and kind of talks his way out of it. And he's like, well, you're not even going to face me. You're not going to do whatever. And he's like, do you really want me to? And then walks off. And
that
like,
is
oh.
probably my favorite part of this comic.
That's a really cool scene.
Yeah.
Because it's really
he's,
cool.
He basically, the blacksmith bulldog.
It's like
mm-hmm.
Boher or something like that.
Yeah, tried to call him out to fight him. He's like, oh, I can show that you're not so big and bad. And he's like, okay, so there's two options here. One, I'm not the chosen one, in which case you'll beat me, and then you're screwed, because there's no chosen one here. Or I am the chosen one, and I'm going to murder you.
Yeah.
Which one of those are good for you? Neither. So.
Yep. Either way, this does not end well for you. It's kind of like Tony Stark facing down Loki.
Yeah, that was really good. That was probably my favorite part of the story.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
But no, in any case, a lot of bad things happen near the end. This, it's presented as a full story, but it definitely ends on a...
It says to be continued.
It says to be continued at the very last page. Yeah. And I was actually kind of confused mm-hmm. near the end because I was
rushed.
Yeah, partly rushed because I was still reading this up until an hour ago. But I was kind of confused on how mm-hmm. this actually came into play because we have the champion facing off against
Seven Scars,
the remaining bison leader.
Yep.
But then we also have he enlisted Dusty to just take out the bridge that they're on.
Yep.
Yeah.
We don't exactly know why, but that was part of his plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dusty actually has some magical abilities. He can conjure fire like that.
Yeah.
It's a really cool little moment. But when he finally comes upon him to do so,
right.
He can't because he knows he's going to kill. He's probably going to kill the
Dusty champion. Is not pro killing.
No. Yeah.
Dusty is. Story.
Right. He's not. I wouldn't say he's the main character, but a lot of.
He's what the one happens, telling the story.
Yeah. A lot of it is happening from his point of view. And he's friends with the champion. Like, he does not want to hurt his friend. He's lost a lot already.
The way I see Dusty is a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all this brutal stuff is happening around basically a child in the body of a man.
Mm-hmm.
So
man who is also a dog.
Yeah, who's a terrier.
Yeah. But I couldn't quite tell if the... Because I know he didn't necessarily...
Right.
Do anything? Was it? It was
the owl
who actually caused the destruction of the bridge because that's where all of the magical items that had been stolen from him
were hidden.
Okay.
Yeah, basically the champion had stolen the magical items. He put them in the bridge to blow up the bridge in case the explosives he made did not work.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Dusty to tell the pig lady to set him off if it didn't work.
Yeah,
but she. Hadn't done it yet, and the owl guy, I think, kind of accidentally did it. Like, I think he was trying to shoot the champion and just accidentally set off the bomb.
Yeah. And, which, the champion's explosives did work, because, like, he freaked out all the animals that he was protecting
mm-hmm.
when he did it. It caused, like, a huge hill, mountain slide type thing mm-hmm. that crushed and destroyed all the hidden bison army.
Yep. Not all, but most.
Yeah. Well, yeah, pretty much all of them.
Yep.
That were down there.
Majority. Mm-hmm. Large majority.
Right. And also at this time, it's kind of hard to tell with the art because it's a very, very small, indistinct part of the panel.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my only complaint about the art is that there is a rescue, basically a rescue ship that is
kind
also
of like a building.
Yeah.
A couple buildings.
That is coming to find them. So they.
It's like a village. Section of a. Sky City
mm-hmm.
comes down to save them.
Yep. While all of this other carnage is happening.
Right.
And anyway, the bridge is blown up. The champion falls along with Seven Scars, the bison, and then Dusty goes into the water after them.
And then it basically ends.
Yeah. Yep. Because Sandhorse has a daughter in this that's best friends with Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she wants to go in after Dusty, but Gorda, or however Garta. You say, Garta.
Borling.
Warthog.
Mm-hmm.
Tells her no, there's nothing she can do.
She Pumbaa.
She Pumbaa.
Pumbaa. Pretty much.
Yes.
But yeah, and it does end with what looks like all the remaining animals from the first Sky City are gonna get on to this mini Sky City.
Yep. And so. Captain Owldick is being hailed as a hero.
He's their savior.
Yep.
So they're kind of a happy ending for certain characters. Unfortunately, none of the main people. Yeah. Just the bad.
The bad guy had a very happy ending.
Yeah. I like that.
So, and that's
he's like, I accidentally got everything I wanted.
So that's how that ends.
Yeah.
And
issue one. Or issues, volume one.
Yep.
Issues 1-6.
Yep.
Yeah. And there is more. There is more to the Autumn Lands. But yeah.
So
I don't know. Maybe at some point we'll talk about the rest of that.
Yep.
But
yeah, I'm gonna say I definitely want to read volume two.
Yeah.
So now that we've kind of discussed what the book was about, what did we all think?
I obviously really liked it because of the fact that I chose it as the first one that we were going to do.
Right.
But what? I love the art style. I mean, I've always liked anthropomorphic stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I love the Mouse Guard books, or comic books, and I love Redwall and all that series of books.
Right.
I've always liked that idea.
Yep.
Because I don't like reading things that are, you know, yay, it's humans. I don't care.
Meh.
But, and I like the art style. It's not super comic booky. It's not too over the top.
Cat tits.
Yes, those are cat tits. And, anywho, I do like the fact that they don't shy away from violence. Because there's sometimes when you're looking at comic books and it's still violent technically, but it doesn't seem realistic violence, in my opinion.
Yeah. This was pretty realistic.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
for cat,
that thing is completely dead. Like, I mean, there's no misunderstanding. It's not like, oh, well, this happened off panel, so it didn't exist. It's like, no, that person's missing half of its body. Yeah. It's dead.
Yeah. And it's done in a way that it's not, I wouldn't say it's gratuitous. Like, you don't see characters getting decapitated. I mean, you see characters die, but it's not like all the time, and it's not just so over the top that it just seems unnecessary.
Yeah, it's not just like brutal violence nonstop the whole way through it. I mean, there's lots of fighting throughout, but I mean, there's tons of, like, the whole section with Dusty and the Champion just going across country. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's beautiful scenery, and it's just, you know, it's nice. It actually makes it look like a peaceful place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though it's not really peaceful, but it's very interesting. I enjoy, and at the beginning of each issue, basically, they have a short kind of, not really an intro into it, but
it's almost like a prologue to a bigger story that relates to what's happening at that moment.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's written more book form on some of those those things, which is nice, because, I mean, it gives you plenty of information. Because, I mean, there's sometimes in comic books, like, when they're trying to do a lot of information throughout a lot of pictures and stuff, it's just so spread out. It, I don't know, I don't always care for it. But I like having just those occasional, here's pretty much a page of reading, but then it's back into comic book form.
Yeah, and the art for each one of those pages is, it's painted, it's freaking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Every single one. And they're all sort of in a, like, a 60s, 70s sci-fi pulp
novel
style.
It makes me really think of, like, the covers for, what is it, like, The Wheel of Time?
Yeah, very similar to those.
It's very, very, like, very much like that.
Mm-hmm.
I completely forgot the word I was going to actually say. But, it just has that whole Wheel of Time kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Cody, what did you think?
I had problems getting into it at first. Mostly because the first several pages are Dusty just talking about his gods.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not, like, actual god names I've ever heard before. So I'm pretty sure they're not actual gods. They're probably made up for the story.
Probably.
Yeah.
But that was boring.
It's called backstory.
It is, but I don't need that much of it right off the bat.
Yeah.
So for a while I wasn't super interested. I was like, okay, I have to read this because I said I would. When the human appeared, everything past that, super interesting to me though. Because a lot of it at the beginning is Dusty talking about his gods and wizards talking about spells that I have no way of telling what any of those spells they're talking about does.
Yeah.
So then I'm just like, okay, words, 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 pretty picture, words.
Yep.
But once the human appears, things get pretty interesting pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I am pretty enthralled with the story. And now I want to read the second volume because I want to know what happens.
But it's kind of a slower burn. I'm not into anthropomorphic animals. I'm not into magical worlds generally. I'm more of a sci-fi futuristic world or modern time world. So this isn't my type of story. So for all I know, if you're into those kind of things, you'll love the beginning. But no, it picks up. It picks up pretty well.
Yeah.
So I'm interested.
Cool.
Yeah. I'd say give it a shot.
Nice.
Yep.
So, yeah, I kind of agree with a lot of that. The first issue especially is like, when it was released, I'm pretty sure it was like a 40, 50 page comic.
It's a long first issue.
Yeah, it's a very long first chapter. And it is a bit of a slow burn, but I thought it picked up. It's gorgeous. Yeah. I thought it picked up in the first issue, but near the end, especially when Madame Goodfoot showed up.
Right.
And I just thought, okay, this is a character I'm already interested in.
Yeah. But they didn't bring her back to like the second half of the second issue.
I don't even think I think it was issue three.
She showed back
up. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely once the champion shows up, which I think is also in issue three, I actually had to put this down because I was reading it at work.
Yeah.
On my break.
Yeah.
But
not being paid.
Nope. But I didn't want to put it down. It got really good. And there's a lot of things like early on that were really interesting to me.
Some of it's real pretty.
Again, the art is gorgeous.
Ask me to name a single one of those gods, though, and I can't do it.
I can't remember any of the gods.
I don't remember the gods' names, but it is funny what they are gods of.
Yeah, one of them is like gods of urban development or something like that.
yeah, the two-headed goddess of housing and urban development.
Yep, that was hilarious.
There's a goddess of health, education, and welfare.
Yep.
The under god of wildlife and fisheries.
Yep.
So I don't know where this
sounds
came
like
from.
The gods are named after old human government organizations.
Exactly.
Like the god of park and recs.
Basically. there's Arden, the god of homeland security.
Yep.
So I don't know if these are little jokes because
maybe I didn't read into it far enough.
But it's,
you know, I never actually picked up any of that. Like, I mean, I read through that section, but. I mean, them talking about the gods and, like, I just figured it was like, okay, yeah, they're showing that that Dusty's super devout into his religious
beliefs.
He's
a super devout dog Catholic.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Again, Kurt Busiek, he's a very funny, very clever writer. So, I don't know if those are just jokes or if he's got, if there's something more to that. Like, this is somehow tied to our world or a world that is similar to ours.
Right.
I gotta say, I loved the first page. It really, I wouldn't say it sets the tone, but there's just a lot of little funny things. Like, the third panel is Dusty, a dog who is sitting upright putting on pants.
Yeah.
That made me just laugh and kind of fall in love with this book a little bit. Just because, I don't know, it was just so funny.
I like when
to see that.
I'm sure he's doing some, like, ritual for worship, but it almost looks like he's doing yoga.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Because it says, prayers to Tofar, rough-hewn under-god of wildlife and fisheries, dance for Patash, god of commerce. But it's like, it looks like he's doing yoga in the back, because it's just a silhouette of him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. And then he does, I do like Dusty's relationship to,
The owl girl?
Yeah.
I don't remember her name.
It's only mentioned.
Remembering names.
To be fair, it's only mentioned maybe once or twice. Her name is Enna. She's throughout the book, but she's not like a huge part.
She's definitely a super side character.
Yeah, but you definitely get the thought that maybe she's into Dusty.
She's Al Dick's daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. Who he treats her as an indentured servant.
I don't. He doesn't even check if she survived when the city crashes.
No, he yells at her once at some point, and then that's really all their interaction. But she seems like a really sweet character. What's really funny, a little moment with her, is when the champion shows up, and again, as we've said, he's naked,
full dongle.
Yep. When Dusty and Enna first see him, their exclamations are. Dusty says, oh, with an exclamation point. And hers is, oh, with ellipses, which is just like,
Oh.
Like, it's just... And I mean, that's a credit to the writing and the lettering. It's just, it's subtle, but I really feel like she's like, oh, that's how I read that. So that was just a really fun little moment. But no, I really, really like this book. Yeah. And,
I liked how they were constantly arguing about, before the human showed up, what species the champion was.
Yeah, because they were like, oh, it's totally going to be a bird. No, it's a dog. No, it's, you know.
It's clearly a mole.
Oh, yeah, that was
weird. And I'm like, it's a human. I saw the cover.
Well, there's,
oh, no, I never. What a human is.
I actually never noticed on the cover, but when I saw the, like, that, you see this champion in the crystal before they conjure him when they're talking about him.
Right.
And you, I mean, he's very humanoid, but you don't see his face. Then you see another image and he's a lion, and I thought, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But the more I thought about it, I was like, he's going to be human.
Yeah.
And I thought that without even, again, seeing really him on the cover.
Yeah, he's on the cover. He's
a human. Okay. So I was
clearly on the cover.
I was going to ask if you guys, like, when you thought he might have been, but I guess you...
I knew from the front.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
I look a human.
All right. That's fair. Yeah. So,
spoiler alert.
Yeah. what do you, Honey, barring what you might remember from volume two, where do you think it's going to go?
I think that obviously the human's still alive. I think Seven Scars will also probably still be alive, and they might have to team up for some greater thing later on. Which I think is going to be hard, because he killed all of Seven Scars' men. But anyway, I think the big bad we're going to have to worry about is going to be Aldic, more so. And the fact that magic's disappearing. Maybe there's somebody who's doing that we don't know yet. I think that Fox, Happy Feet.
Goodfoot?
Goodfoot.
I thought she was a coyote.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she's a coyote.
I think, I don't know why, but I think they're going to kind of have a romantic thing. The human and the fox lady, the coyote lady. Hmm. I don't know why.
I don't know why.
They either. Have good chemistry, I guess, when they're talking to each other. So
yeah, I can see that.
I don't want it, but I can see it happening.
Either.
But yeah, and then I think we'll find out more of how magic came to be, and I do think it's probably going to be magic's not magic. It's advanced science that no one understands.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you guys?
Well, I think we'll probably see a lot of that. I mean, even though, you know, certain characters' fates are in question,
right.
It's pretty clear that the majority of the main characters who are still left by issue 6 are still alive by the end.
Yep.
It's really just side characters and background people who get murdered or destroyed. Yep. I think the fact that we see the Bison's tribe and they're incredibly weak...
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to come into play because, and actually it kind of already has, because one thing that we didn't really discuss is the fact that when the champion is basically depletes the entire Bison army,
right?
Rather than, you know, celebrate him, the people, and again, they refer to themselves as people, the animals do, which I think is really cool.
Yep.
But they actually are repulsed by what happened. They're like, no.
By the brutality of it.
Yeah, we could have reasoned with it.
It wasn't civilized.
Yeah, what kind of beast are you? And they even say that. So, it's, you know, the irony comes into play as well.
I don't think they have soldiers.
Mm-mm.
Like, he's a soldier.
Yeah.
McElroy, or whatever his name is, is a soldier.
Yeah.
I don't think they have soldiers in there.
The back of the cover, it says they needed a savior, they got a soldier.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of their taglines.
That's a good tagline. I didn't read that.
And when he's looking at their weapons, most of them are just cheap and nothing. There's one decent sword, and he can't even wield it because it's too heavy.
Okay, that's something I found funny, is there's a whole bunch of different animals and stuff like that, and they're sexist.
A little bit.
They're like, he's like going through the swords, and he's like, I like this sword, and he's like, oh, that belonged to a woman? Oh, that's a woman's sword. It's like, why?
What kind of weakling is going to run around with a woman's sword?
Yeah.
Well, obviously they had a woman, I think they were mostly guards, the people that had swords,
right.
So not necessarily a warrior, but at least someone who had some sort of defensive role in the not kingdom, but their...
I just found that funny.
Civilization. That is pretty funny.
Many animal species, the women are physically stronger than the men.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah. I don't really know.
Yeah.
It was like a weird little one part where I stopped and like, why are they sexist? It's just all of a sudden...
I mean, true. Most of the main leaders were all men.
Yeah. Except for the boar lady.
She wasn't even really a leader as much.
She wasn't, but she was the best.
Well, yeah. She should have been leading the animals. She probably would have kept most of them alive.
She's the only one who's mm-hmm. really spent any time in the wilderness.
Right.
Yeah, other than maybe her lover, the giraffe lady.
Yeah. But the owl was definitely turning everyone else in their little...
Because he's a politician.
Yeah, he's the Palpatine. Well, that's what
I was
saying.
Like, the council that was ruling the stuff, I mean, it's basically the 1%.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones in charge of the upper class.
Right.
I'm now realizing there's a lot of...
Oh, there's a lot here.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more than I was thinking.
The people on the ground are buffalo, and they get traded shiny things for their goods.
Yeah, they're Native Americans.
And then wiped out by the white man. So...
Definitely some good allegory here.
Well, I was also looking through and I realized, like, Seven Scars and Goodfoot, mm-hmm. they have, like, dragonfly wings instead of feathers.
Yeah.
On their outfits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, huh, it's like Native Americans with feathers.
Yeah.
Like,
and Buffalo and Coyote are both Native American, or North American regional.
Yeah.
That's where they were located. So.
True.
Although,
racism.
Goodfoot riding a cockroach?
Yeah, I don't know.
Didn't quite get that.
Yeah. They gotta have something that is the horse, since horses are people. So they went with bugs.
Yeah, there are no horse people, per se, but it's implied that there aren't a lot of, like, apes. There's a lot of animals that we don't see.
Well, I mean, there's like a family of skunks in the first... little section, they probably obviously died.
I don't think I've ever seen a humanoid insect, so I think insects have moved up to animals, and animals are people.
Well, they also had, when they were in, like, they were spying on the Bison City tribe, there were dinosaurs?
Something.
The bison had
they had livestock.
Yeah, but they did definitely look like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Because there's lizard people and there's squirrel people, and I'm just coming through real
there's
quick.
There's mice people.
Yeah, mice people.
And they're all about the same size, too. Like, they're all pretty well to... they're not to scale. They're all kind of the same...
Yeah, because, I mean, like, the giraffe lady's way larger than the warthog lady.
Well, that's just because of her neck, mostly. She's, but body-wise, they're pretty close.
Yeah.
Body-wise, though, they're, like... I mean, I know she's standing up on something, but, I mean, like, she's... Her body's easily twice the size of the warthog.
Yeah,
that's true.
But,
they're also the giant bats.
Oh, yeah, we completely missed over the bats that attacked them.
They have a lot of... Like, I don't even know if they're sentient. They were kind of wearing clothes, so I assume they're somewhat sentient.
Oh, but
they don't speak. But the bison don't speak very well.
And they use loud noises to scare them off, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the champion takes a group of children to steal their poo in the morning.
Right.
To make bombs.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Having a soldier teach children to make bombs.
Which was actually hilarious, because... I was sitting in the room watching TV while Cody was reading, finishing up, and he's like, "No, don't take the kids into the bat cave. Don't do that. That's a bad idea."
Nothing bad happened, but it could have.
Right.
Yeah.
So, no, I definitely think the idea that they think that they could have reasoned with the bison is going to come into play, and they're going to see. They're going to see that their champion is not who... they've already seen that their champion is not who they thought.
He's not some savior. He's a warrior.
Yeah.
He is a soldier.
So. I mean, there wasn't even a prophecy like, oh, if we get this guy to the future, he'll save us. It was like, you know what? He did it once, maybe. Let's go get him.
Yep.
So we'll see.
Yeah. No prophecy. That just shows how desperate they are to save themselves, really.
They crash the whole city.
Yeah.
Like scanning through a little bit more, it's like there's walrus people, bear people, moose people, turtle people. There aren't any horse people. Hmm. Or zebra.
And they mention apes a couple times, but
they said they live across the seas or something.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Yeah. So they live in a different continent.
I was trying to think. Wow, that's a cobra guy. I don't even remember seeing that guy.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, other than the walrus people, mm-hmm. I was like, a lot of these people would be the general ones that would be in North America?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like I said, walrus is not really.
Or that naked leopard at the beginning.
That was just a cat person.
I think she was a leopard. She had spots.
She has more line. I guess, I don't know.
Sorry,
a sky tribe.
But
might
we have
be.
Zoos, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Wow, how did I miss them riding a giant flying squid?
Yeah, that was interesting.
I missed that. Oh my!
That's like in the beginning.
Yeah. It was very late when I started reading that.
So, something I want to see. Something. This is what I would love if this book did this.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that this book takes place 2 months after Earth was destroyed. Huh. That's what I would love. And it's like just the animals evolved into the sentient species, started mm-hmm. doing magic and taking over, and they're like, oh, we've always been this way.
Oh, there is a mole person.
Yeah.
I thought you were joking about that when you said mole.
Oh, no. I remember that.
They don't have a proper understanding of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, this has only been like this for like two months. So maybe a couple of years, but I want it to be recent.
No. I found a horse.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's totally a horse person.
They just probably died.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, we see a lot of
people die.
So,
anyway.
But that is Autumn Lands, Volume 1, Tooth and Claw. Definitely
brought to you by
Uber Nostrum.
Uber Nostrils.
It will probably not kill you.
Does cause eye bleeding.
It is known to cause death in people.
Yeah.
So.
To be taken rectally.
Yep. Wait, what?
What?
Okay, so Autumn Lands, Volume 1. Tooth and Claw, you can get it at your local comic book shop, probably.
.com.
It's fairly recent. It's from 2015. Mm-hmm. So most bookstores, comic book stores, probably carry it. It is available on Comixology and your local library. For our digital readers, you can even check it out on Hoopla.
Yeah, I checked it out from Honey.
Yep, I checked it out from Hoopla.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to get Volume 2 from there because I want to read it right away.
So just find your local library or your local Stephen Honey.
Exactly.
Or buy it. Support the writers.
Definitely.
Yeah, you could be like me and just buy it. Mm-hmm. Although I think I actually bought mine at Barnes & Noble.
Still, hey, Barnes & Noble
they still
is awesome.
Money.
Well, yeah. No, but I'm just saying it wasn't a comic book shop.
That's fine. You know, well, I was saying support the creators, not
yeah.
Right.
You should support your local comic book shop, too.
Mm-hmm.
Says and the guy who only reads from Marvel Unlimited.
You buy random comics and trades now.
On occasion,
so.
Yes. I have very many DC trades because
mm-hmm.
I don't have DC. There's no DC Unlimited that I know of.
I think they're starting one.
Oh, cool.
I don't know.
No screw comic book shops.
So, anyway, that's our episode. I don't know that we'll necessarily cover Autumn Lands Volume 2. We might.
Anytime soon, at least.
Right. Because,
I mean, I already know what I want to do for my next one. But I'm not going to say it.
The one with the dog robot.
What?
Huh?
Dog robot.
It's like Wii 3 or something like that.
Oh, no, I do love Wii 3.
You do love Wii 3. You tried to make me read it once, and then I got bored. But I was younger then, so.
True. But no, that's not the one I was thinking of.
Okay.
But anyway.
You can tell us
later
when we get closer.
Yeah.
So the way it's going to work is Cody will pick one that Honey and I haven't read. I'll pick one that they haven't read. But
once then they're going to give me another go.
Apparently so. But in the meantime, if you guys have any suggestions for books that you want to hear us talk about,
comic books.
Yes.
I'm not reading a real book.
No.
I don't get paid enough for that.
Yeah. Preferably a graphic novel or a trade paperback. If you have a single issue, we might check that out too.
Yeah.
You never know. But we could just let us know. We are at the Nerd Dump Podcast on the Twitter. You can email us. You can hit us up on Facebook. Let us know anything that you want us to hear us discuss on a future episode. Even if it's not, you know, a comic or something for the book club segment. Right. Let us know what you want to hear about. And again, if you have an idea for a title for our book club segment, let us know. We don't know when the next episode will
book
be.
Book dump.
But we will unleash it at that time. Not book dump. So again, hit us up on the Twitter. Also, we are on iTunes, so you can subscribe, give us a rating, help us out, and help other people who like to hear
idiots talk
for an hour plus. Where to find us. Speaking of where to find us, where can they find you guys if they wanted to talk to you directly?
I'm at TheCodyWack on the Twitter.
I am Viking Honey.
And I am at Cameron Kiefer on both Twitter and Instagram. And we may have a Nerd Dump Instagram.
We should probably start one.
Yeah.
We all do things.
Yep.
That we can
sometimes
put on there. Like, you do a lot of arts.
I do a lot of arts.
Occasional arts.
And Legos.
Tony does weird, beautiful women.
That's right. Speaking of which, I got plans after this.
Okay, really? Well, we should...
Not really.
No. Oh, well. We should wrap this up so we could spend the rest of the evening making fun of Honey for not having plans.
I'm going to go to bed after this.
I am going over to a girl's house after this, but that's not the...
Tell her to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, hit her business card.
You know what? Trying to think. No, wait, I've given her a business card before.
Was it me?
No, you're not a woman.
Was it me in a wig?
No.
You've fallen for that before.
We were all in wigs. Yeah, well, Cameron was, because we didn't know him at the time.
Yeah, that's true.
He didn't exist yet.
Nope.
I built him in a garage.
Thank you for that.
Brought to you by Mondo. Wait, no, what? What are we brought to you by? Nostril X.
Yep. Uber. Oh, God. All right, that's it for this week. Stay tuned next week. We will be discussing...
Stuff!
Black Panther.
Probably Black Panther. Yeah, assuming Black Panther. Can all get around to seeing it. We hope to, so that'll probably be the next episode. And then we'll do another one after that. And probably another one after that.
Yeah, Black Panther again.
Yep.
And then Black Panther again, and then eventually Infinity War.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how that science works.
Forever.
Indeed. Right?
Yep.
That's science?
Yep.
May cause ear bleeding.
Thank you for listening to us, speaking of ear bleeding. Thanks again, and have a good weekend.
Bye!
This has been a Nerd Dump production.